Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity for us to come together to praise and to worship you this morning. Father, we thank you for each person that is here and for those who couldn't join us. Father, we just ask for a hedge of protection over us all. Open our hearts and our minds. May we worship you with everything we have. May we remember the glory that you've shown us and the peace that you have given us and the strength. Father, I ask that you be with those who are in the hospital, those who are in the nursing homes, that we may not forget them. We may lift them up in prayer. And may we be an example and be the hands and feet that you've called us to be. Thank you for our offering. May we use it to glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. Praise God for that victory. Praise God that he's had victory in our lives. This is that moment in time where we gather together as a church to pray for our three people in our lives who don't know Jesus, that need Jesus, that we know are walking around this world without God. Father, as we get ready to go into prayer here, guys, I just want us to take a moment. Pray for your own three. If you don't have that three yet, you can find one of these little cards out there. Put the three people in your lives. Pray for them daily, and then we'll pray for them together on Sundays as a community, because people's lives are being changed. There are people who are coming to Jesus through this. The stories keep being shared, and I hope that we can find the encouragement, and don't be scared to share those stories. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, this morning we come before you, and we just want to lift up these people in our lives that don't know you, that need you. Father, we know that there are people that are hurting inside of our communities, inside of our families, our friends. Father, may we become an example to them. May you work in their hearts. May they come to know you as their Savior, knowing you, you walk right along with them. Father, we know there's some hard hearts there as well. Father, we pray for a softening of these hearts. We pray for a softening in a way that only you can do. Father, may you direct us. May you guide us. May you give us the words. May you give us the example. May we live our life in such a way that people may ask questions. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken, and great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. And all the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Great are you, Lord.
Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now
Good morning, church. Happy Father's Day again to all the dads out there. What a great day it is for us to get together as a body of believers, you know? Got a little bit of rain this morning, hopefully more coming eventually. I know we need it. But it's great joining together with the body of believers where we can praise our Savior, where we can worship together. And I want to welcome our guests that are here with us this morning, and I also want to welcome those on the online and on the radio. We're glad that you can join us. We're thankful for that. So, as we get ready, though, you know, last week, I also want to say this. Last week, thank you to everybody who helped put Kids Day together. What a great service that was. The puppet show and the kids' music and just being able to let the kids be kids and showing them that they matter to our community. So let's give it up for everybody who helped out with that one. But as we prepare to dive into this morning's lesson, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to praise, to worship you. Father, we thank you for your words and the direction that you have given us in life through it. Father, may we not take that for granted. May we look at it for our own lives. May we use it as you've intended for us to use it. May we learn. May we grow. And Father, I pray this morning that it's your words that are spoken and not my own. Father, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. I pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. This morning, the message is entitled, A Gracious Father. And last time we got together on this Life of Christ series, we were looking at Jesus, and while he was being questioned about fasting and his disciples, and he pointed out to the Pharisees of his day how he came to do a new thing. That he didn't come just to make Judaism better or add to the rules and add to the laws of the day. He pointed out that he was there to do a new thing. He came to make a way for all of us to be restored to our Heavenly Father. He came to pay a debt that none of us could pay. Yet for the Pharisees, this was just too much. You see, they were wrapped up in their traditions of the day, the letter of the law. We can get so caught up as well if we're not careful. I know around here we have a lot going on this next week, right? And then all the way through July and then even into August as we celebrate 175 years of this church being in the community, this particular body of believers. And it's easy for us to get caught up in the work of it all that we miss the entire purpose of why we're doing the things that we're doing. That we miss the purpose of what God is asking of us. And just going through the motions. We can let the busyness of life get in our way of actually fulfilling the calling that God has placed in each of us. And placed on us as a church. And I don't just mean Mount Carroll Church of God. I mean church as in all the bodies of believers together. We can miss the great commission that Jesus gave us. For all of us who call him Lord and Savior. You know, throughout church history, church has gotten into times where we just go through the motions, where we look at the rules around us, where we look at the letter of the law as we see it, and we try to follow it closely instead of looking at what was the purpose of that law. What was the purpose that God gave us these commandments? Why did God give us the Ten Commandments? We can get carried away at times on that. It's the same with traditions inside the church. We can get caught up in these traditions and we miss the purpose of it all. God often raises someone up during these times and calls the church back in order, back to what the church is called to be. And honestly, I believe we're entering a time such as that today, where we have people starting to rise up across this nation and around the world, calling the church back to its original calling, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to proclaim the gospel message to the world around us, to reach out to the orphans and the widows, to lay hands on the sick, to learn to do life together, to encourage each other, lifting each other up, and showing grace and mercy to the people that we run into. Because we know when someone first comes to Jesus, when they finally get to experience Jesus, it's a freeing experience where they have this feeling of their weight of the world just being lifted off of their shoulders. You know, I remember when I first got saved, the joy and peace that was overflowing within me. And for the first time in years, I had a peace within me. I had a joy that I couldn't I couldn't fully comprehend. Do you guys remember how that feeling was for you? Do you remember that freedom? But see, eventually we start seeing things in this world again. We start seeing different things in this, and it intrigues us, and it catches our eyes. And we start pursuing things of this world again. And when we look and we see what God asks of us, and the directions and the things he asks us to avoid, and what the Bible says, what do? We start looking for loopholes. We want to be faithful to God. We want to be faithful to our Heavenly Father, but we like loopholes. We look for workarounds, things that we can do. And this isn't anything new. This goes all the way back to Genesis. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, what did the devil do? He asked Eve, did God really say not to eat from this tree? This has been part of mankind since the beginning. We're always looking for loopholes. That's why God had to send Jesus, because he knew there was no way for us to do it. You know, it's kind of like a kid. Have you ever had a kid that you gave rules to that he has to follow? You know, house rules. I'm sure most of you parents have your house rules for your kids. No tablet or phones in the kitchen or maybe in their bedroom. Maybe you have, you know, only an hour of video game time, if at all. Maybe you have no snacks in their bedroom because you know those bowls of ice cream that they took into their bedroom with the spoon is going to be tucked underneath the bed and you're going to find it 2 months later with mold growing on it. You know, so you're like, no food in the bedroom. Kids, there's reasons your parents have these rules. I need you to understand this, okay? And it just piles up in there. You know, whatever it may be, there are rules that are often laid out for our kids in our lives to follow. Now, these rules are not done in such a way that's meant to be mean, no matter how much they may claim it is, or not meant to be unreasonable. In fact, a good parent will have rules for their children. It will have boundaries for their children. It's there to help shape them. It's there to make them a better adult as they get older. But mainly, they're there to protect the kids, aren't they? Telling a kid not to touch the hot stove is not because you don't want them touching the stove. It's you don't want them to burn your hand. You know, when I was growing up, we had house rules and stuff too. And my parents, they gave me for guidance and wisdom on how to live my life, especially early on, and how to keep from hurting myself. Well, there was one time when my dad gave me a rule, and he told me not to build the bike ramp out of this wood that we had laying in the garage. Very directly was told, do not build with that. Now, the wood I'm talking about is paneling. You know, the real thin stuff? The real thin stuff. That's what Dad was talking about. The stuff that people put on their walls. Well, as a kid does, I ignored my father's wishes. So I went, and I built this bike ramp, and I was all excited. Now, you got to see, I just got a new mountain bike, all right? One of those, it had suspension in the front. I had 21 speed. That was a big deal, kids, all right? I need you to understand, back when I was a kid, that was a big deal to have all these gears and stuff. And in my eyes, this thing could fly. There is no way I'm not hitting 15, 20 miles an hour with this thing going downhill with the wind to my back. But, you know, I made it there. We were flying with it. And in my eyes, when I hit this ramp after I build it, I was going to be like Evel Knievel, get at least 15 feet, maybe get my brother to lay down in front of it or something. You know, that was what's going through my head. So what do I do when Dad said not to do it? I waited until Dad wasn't looking, and at least I thought he wasn't, and I went and I built the ramp. I grabbed that big piece of paneling. I took it out there. I took two cinder blocks with me out to the yard, and I got this all laid out. And what did I do? I got on that bike, and I started pedaling, and I started going through the gears, and I was getting ready, and I went up, and I hit that ramp, and just as I hit it, bam, it broke underneath me. I mean, instantaneous, broke underneath me. And my front wheel hit those cinder blocks. And let me tell you, I did go flying. I did go flying, but the problem was The bike didn't go flying with me. Nope, I Superman right over those handlebars. Now, just so you know, I didn't get 15 feet of flying. Maybe 7 between flying and sliding I got from there. I got a little bit of a messed up front wheel on top of that. And Dad actually watched from the corner of the house. He made sure I was all right, but he's like, I told you. My point is, though, the problem wasn't me building the ramp. Is he wanted me to have a firm foundation for that ramp. He wanted me to have these boundaries. He wanted me to still have fun in life, but he wanted me to do it within boundaries, within guidelines for my life, because he knew what would protect me. If we had taken the time to actually build that ramp, it would have worked much easier. But see, from my perspective, when I looked at this ramp, it appeared as a firm foundation from a distance. Everything looked good from a distance. It wasn't until there was some weight added to it that it completely shattered. And that's what God does for us. He didn't just give us the Bible because and the instructions to keep the fun of our lives away. He gave us the Bible and he gave us these instructions because he wants us to live a good life and he wants to protect us. He wants to guide us. He's our heavenly Father who's trying to watch out for us and build a firm foundation for us as we go through life. But sometimes we can get so carried away of this and that we start looking at this that this actually becomes almost an idol in and of itself. And we start looking for the loopholes of the rules that God has laid out, and we don't. And it looks like we have a firm foundation, but we really don't. You know, a while back I saw a really funny thing online as well. There was a kid that was told he could not have a tablet in the kitchen, but he was also told that he could not have a snack outside of the kitchen. So you know what the kid did? He laid down across the threshold, had the tablet in the one room, and a snack in the kitchen in the next. He missed the entire point of why his parents made that rule. You know, they missed everything. But he found a loophole. But he missed the purpose. You know, we do that so often with God. We do it all the time. And that's what we're going to look at in the text today. We're going to look at the Pharisees and their strict standards of the rules and how they were following the letter of the law, but they missed the entire point of the law. They missed entirely why God had laid it out, why he wanted that firm foundation, why he wanted them. We're going to be in Mark chapter 2 this morning, verse 23 is where we're going to start off. And it says, on the Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields and his disciples began to make their way, picking some heads of grain. Now for us, as we read this passage, we may not think much of that within our concept of today. But to start, this was the Sabbath. This was the day of rest for the Jewish people. When Jesus and his disciples were traveling, they often depended on God to provide for them as they traveled around the land. And one of the things that they often did is they would go out to the grain fields and they would eat from other people's fields what was needed for that moment for nutrition. You know, when they would harvest the fields, they would allow corners to stay standing for this purpose. And it was something that was actually asked of them in the Old Testament law. And in Deuteronomy 23 to 24 and 25, it tells us, when you enter your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat as many grapes as you want until you are full, but do not put any in a container. Verse 25 says, when you enter your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck heads of grain with your hand, but do not put a sickle to your neighbor's grain. So you may take what is needed to fill you up in that moment. You just can't harvest it and take it with you for later. This is actually a really neat way on the way God provided for the poor and the widows and everything inside that community in the Old Testament. It's kind of like a welfare system that God set up for his people. Now, when the Pharisees saw Jesus' disciples doing this, they were not happy with it, what they saw. And you may think, well, yeah, they were stealing. Yet we just read in the passage earlier, this is allowed under the law. They were upset for a whole nother reason. They weren't upset that they were eating. They were upset because it was the Sabbath. It tells us in Mark chapter 2, verse 24, the Pharisees said, "Look, why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" When the Pharisees saw Jesus and his disciples rubbing the heads of grain between their palms to separate the kernel from the hulls, they freaked out. In their eyes, they were working, and this was forbidden on the Sabbath. You know, Exodus 20 outlines that not even the livestock should work on the Sabbath. You know, it's hard for us to grasp the Sabbath often. We often think of it as a day of rest, so, you know, no work. I'm sure many of you guys grew up, but you didn't mow the yard on the Sunday, right? You didn't mow the yard on Sunday. You maybe didn't go shopping on Sunday. There was a lot of things that you didn't do. But the do not work concept is much stricter in Judaism. They had more rules surrounding keeping the Sabbath than any other command. And God says, keep the Sabbath holy. The command says, on the seventh day, do not work. Think about that for a minute. How would you keep the Sabbath holy? How would you keep this command of doing no work? If you don't work on the Sabbath, is that enough? Like if you don't go into work on the Sabbath, is that enough? What about working around your house? Cleaning your flower beds? What if it's something you enjoy? Should you still be doing it? What about preparing meals? Let me tell you, preparing a meal can become work very quickly. That takes time. I know some of you dads are getting ready to fire up the barbecue grill. That takes a minute. Where do you draw the line? Under Jewish law at the times, untying a sash is not work because it's relaxing something, yet tying it is work. And that is forbidden. What about walking? That takes work. But you have to walk to do anything. So how many steps can you take? These are all things that they had to think about constantly on the Sabbath, on the day of rest. Though the Pharisees had good motivations at first when the laws were expanded and what they did, if we actually look at how the laws often came together, God gave us, what, 10 commandments to start with, and he just kept having to add to it. It's because we couldn't follow those 10, so he had to give us more direct guidelines because we're stubborn and keep trying to find loopholes, right? So they kept breaking it down to the point that basically for the Sabbath, they had a rule for every minute of the day because they did not want the Sabbath broken. And it became exhausting trying to remember all of this. Even got to the point that Jews were forbidden from defending their own lives on the Sabbath. Historical fact, during the Maccabean revolt around 160 BC, the Syrians finally overcame the Jewish revolt by attacking them on the Sabbath. And they were not willing to break the Sabbath law to defend themselves and their family. Think about that for a minute. They lost a battle due to not wanting to break the Sabbath law. People died for that. Women and children were taken captive for that. This was to keep the letter of the law perfect in their eyes. To honor God, they had to do this, is what they believed. And so they were upset at Jesus and his disciples for picking these grain. And he said to them in verse 25 and 26, Have you never read what David and those who were with him did when he was in need and hungry? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of presence, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priests, and also to gave some to his companions. What Jesus is pointing out here is that their father David, their ancestor that they look up to, King David, man after God's own heart, did something that does not follow the law. He broke the law. You see, he had an army of hungry men, and they were preparing for battle, yet they needed food, they needed nutrition before they could enter the battlefield. So David went into the temple and ate the bread that was only to be eaten by the priests in the line of Aaron. Some have argued, well, David was God's anointed king, which is true, but he also gave it to the others that were with him. That was a no-no. He broke one of the laws. But what David did in that moment was simply put human need above ritual law. It was grace that was shown for people that were in need inside of that moment. Jesus even says in verse 27 and 28, then he told them, the Sabbath was made for man and not for man for the Sabbath. So then the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath. When God created the Sabbath, it comes from God. It comes from when God created the world and everything in it. And when God created us, it tells us that on the seventh day, he did what? He rested. And God gave us the Sabbath in that moment. He gave it to us so that we can rest, that we don't have to worry about all the things in life, but that we can just rest in him. We often misunderstand the Sabbath because we live in a five-day work week, don't we? 5 days most of the time, where we get 2 days off. But for the different parts of the world, and especially back then, that wasn't the case. They didn't get 2 days off. They worked 7 days a week. But it was not so for the Jews. When we look at the Israelites coming out of Egypt, the Bible tells us that God provided manna for them every day, right? He provided it for his people, but on the sixth day, he would give them a double portion so that they could rest on the Sabbath and they didn't have to go out and gather their food. He had already done it. That was the point of the Sabbath. It was a gift from God for all of us to have a day of rest, a day to reflect on everything that God had provided for us, that he had blessed us with, that we can have a day of rest in him and his goodness. But the number of rules became such a heavy burden that they give us such a heavy burden with all these rules, instead of feeling that freedom of work for the day, the Pharisees made the Sabbath into a day of burdensome rules. And they missed grace and mercy that God had provided for them on that day. You know, Jesus is telling them this, and he even declares that he is the Lord over all the laws, and what he's telling them is truth. But so often, we can get mixed up the same way they did. We can get mixed up in the letter of the law that we miss what God is doing in the rest of them. When the Pharisees had so many rules, how relaxing is the Sabbath suddenly? We miss the entire point. It goes all the way back to I missed the entire point of why Dad said not to build that ramp out of there. You know, I just wanted it my way. And that's the same thing the Pharisees, they so often miss. They were so concerned on keeping God's law perfect. And we can get so concerned on keeping our traditions exactly the same way that we've always done them that we miss what God is trying to do in the midst of them. You know, as we move on to chapter 3 this morning, we see the Pharisees understood none of what Jesus had just told them and what he was trying to teach them. And in fact, that we see it so bad that they actually set a trap for Jesus. In verses 1 and 2, it says, Jesus entered the synagogue again, and there was a man who had a shriveled hand. In order to accuse him, they were watching him closely to see whether he could heal him on the Sabbath. They set a trap for Jesus in their mind. They wanted to see if he would heal a man on the Sabbath in their eyes. In their eyes, they believed if Jesus healed this man, he would be working on the Sabbath. And that is a no-no. Think about that for a second. Here was a man who had a hand that needed healing. But it was the Sabbath. So they didn't believe that it should happen. If Jesus is God's son, he would know better than to heal someone on the Sabbath. Think about this. It's like the idea if you had an accident today and you needed an ambulance, and as long as it wasn't life-threatening and you may die, Denny and the crew can't come out and get you. All right? You're going to have to wait. It's the Sabbath. They can't work. That requires EMS crews. Not happening. Can you imagine that? How crazy is that? Jesus knew their hearts and knew what they were trying to do inside that moment. It tells us in verse 3 and 4, he told the man with the shriveled hand, stand before us. Then he said to them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil, to save life or to kill? And they were silent. What would be good? What would be evil in this moment? Knowing that you can heal someone but choosing not to, or for Jesus to heal someone and help restore their lives. It'd be like me telling you that you can't be saved on a Sunday because that requires work of the Holy Spirit in your life, and nope, we can't work on a Sunday. It's rest day. It's not how this works. That wasn't the purpose of these laws. There's a purpose to what God asks of us. We have a Heavenly Father that loves us and wants a relationship with us. I had a student one time tell me, "Pastor Tim, I want to be saved, but I can't remember all the rules." Somewhere along the line, somebody had brought the idea to this student that Christianity was nothing but following a whole bunch of rules and making sure that we stay in line with everything. And that we need to keep these laws perfectly. But we also know as humans, we can't do that. That's why God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you and I, to make a way to restore our lives like he did for the man that we find in this story here today. It tells us in Mark 3, verse 5 and 6, that after looking around with them in anger, he was grieved at the hardness of their hearts and told them, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched out his hand and was restored. Immediately the Pharisees went out and started plotting with the Herodians against him on how they might kill him. So Jesus healing someone on the Sabbath is a sin, but them planning to kill Jesus on the Sabbath was okay. Let's just clarify that for a second. But because they were so focused on the letter of the law, they missed what God was doing in the midst of it. He wants us to understand the purpose of the law. You know, he tells us in Matthew chapter 12 that I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Here's the idea. Mercy trumps sacrifice and ritual law. Being the hands and feet of Jesus, showing up and showing compassion and giving rest to those who are down in the mess of life is more important than keeping the rules perfectly if we miss the entire purpose of the rules. When Jesus was asked what's the most important laws, he answered in Matthew 22, 37 to 40. And he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws, all the law and the prophets depend on these two commands." If we love God with everything we have, if we're willing to die to our own desires and seek after him, we'll be in right standings with him. If we love our neighbors as ourselves, we will love them as Christ loved them. We will bring glory to God through that. Remembering that if people don't know Jesus, we can't expect them to live a life as if they did. Church, I want to encourage you to look at what God is asking of us. Not just the letter of the law, but what's the purpose of it? What's the purpose of us being the hands and feet of Jesus? What's the purpose of us reaching out to our community? What's the purpose of showing God's love everywhere we go? To be an example to the world around you on what it means to be a follower of Christ. Let's be honest, being a Jesus follower is not the most popular thing inside of our society at this moment. And some of that comes down to our own faults on how we've acted in the past, how we've treated different people, where we've missed the Great Commission, where we stopped reaching a hand out. Instead, we started pushing people back down into the pit. God gave us these rules. He gave us a firm foundation to stand on. Let's look at those firm foundations and see the purpose of them and not just try to have an outside looking good so that our heavenly gracious Father can reach down and touch others' lives through us, because he did that for us whilst we were still sinners ourselves. He's a Father that gives us rest when we need it. And praise God for that rest. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the opportunity to come together to worship and to praise you. Father, I thank you for the rest that you have given us. Father, for lifting that burden and knowing that we can't keep the law perfectly, so you sent your son Jesus who could. Father, may we show that same grace and mercy to the world around us. May we be an example. May we encourage. Father, we know that you've given us the tools for that firm foundation. And we thank you for that. And may we glorify you as we go out this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember to build our firm foundation on God's word, on the purpose of his word, and not just the way that we want to read it. May God bless you and keep you. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.